our seven principles. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
Those seven principles are inside of the cover of our order of service now. And they are there not to be a creed, but to let us continually look at what is in fact a covenant among Unitarian Universalists. These were created and voted on and get revisited every 25 years at least. And so we keep them before us so that we can keep reaching for them again. When I was in San Francisco and attending the Unitarian Universalist Church there, it's a big stone, I would call it Gothic, but the architects in the room might correct me about the exact style that it's in. Big stained glass windows, a very formal, grand place. And friends of mine had two babies while I was there, and one of the babies really liked to attend the service. But they found as she got older that during the time when people were singing and talking, the baby was quiet. But as soon as the room got quiet, the baby had a lot to say. And the parents finally decided that the baby had actually learned the art of conversation already and understood that when someone else is talking, you're listening. And when they stop talking, then it's your turn to talk. Perhaps that was, in fact, what's happening. Children are picking up on things and enacting things about our collective lives that we're not always aware of. So it's a joy to be in conversation. We have this morning spoken aloud collectively in one case and heard spoken aloud in another case. Two pretty essential pieces of Unitarian Universalist life. We have spoken our two covenants this morning. The first is the covenant that we regularly call that, that's printed in the order of service that we say together. And then our principles, and we usually refer to them as our seven principles or our principles. But they really are a covenant, something that Unitarian Universalists have collectively agreed to, and they are agreements about how we will act in the world. They are not promises about God, but they are promises that are made to and with the life that is larger than our individual lives. These are sets of promises with the fullness and wholeness of life. They are, in some real way, a conversation with that which is more than us. And that which is more than us is defined at least 100 different ways. That's how many people are in the room. Both the covenant that we say, starting with love is the doctrine of this church, and our seven principles are a way to make the life which is larger than us part of our daily living. So when someone asks you, what do Unitarian Universalists believe? The answer is not what almost all of us always say, well, you can believe whatever you want. Even though that is, in fact, a sort of correct answer to the question that people appear to be asking, because you can believe whatever you want. But when people are asking that, they're usually asking it from a Christian perspective, even if they are not Christian. We're embedded in Christianity in this country, and so the way you measure a religion is by what you believe. So what they're really asking is, what do Unitarian Universalists think about God? And so then the answer is, well, whatever you want. But they're not actually asking you about that. What they're really wondering, I think, is what is at the heart of your religious life? How do you know that you're a religious person? What is it about your religion that is useful and engaging? And so I think that the answer to that question is, we believe that how a person lives, how they act in the world, the choices that they make, we believe that that is how religion is expressed. So to say that what you do, what you actually do day to day, hour to hour, is your religious life means that we are a people of covenant. We are a people always in conversation. We are defined by what we do. That is our religion. Creeds are not about what you do, but about an idea or an understanding to which you consent. And many of you and many Unitarian Universalists started out religious lives inside of a creed and found that that creed, that statement about the nature of God and maybe about the nature of humans, wasn't big enough for life. You probably know either by heart from childhood or from having heard it in the air in this world, you likely know a Christian creed or two about a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. And you may recognize the Muslim creed. You may not think about Islam as having a creed, but they very much do. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. That is the creedal part of Islam. Islam, like all religions, also has some very important tenets about how one is to behave in the world. The Jewish tradition also organizes their religion around the claim that God is one, but it isn't creedal in the same way in Judaism. Their religious practice is more about a conversation with God. And so it is not uncommon to find a person who is fairly Jewish but says they don't believe in God, that they've stepped outside of that particular piece of religious life. Which is to say that belief in a certain kind of God isn't at the heart of their religious life, just as we say it isn't for ours. That the relationship, the agreement about how to act in the world is more essential. And that the telling a story of transcendence is also more essential. So we have stepped away from that singular focus on creed that we get from our Judeo-Christian heritage and from our cousins in Islam. We are a religion that is open to the world around us, a religion that is interested in forming and reforming, a religion that is decentralized and responsive, which means it is hard to get us together. How do we collect ourselves? How do we live in relationship so that we can, in fact, live into these covenants? It is easy to think of ourselves, and many jokes, in fact, are made about Unitarian Universalists as being cats. Individuals who will wander into the warm part of the house at the same time and mill around together for a while, and then maybe retreat to our quiet corners and our bird feeder viewing windows. And we know and have experienced that the promise of this kind of religious life is that the sum is greater than the whole of the parts, that something happens when we act as if it matters that we are together, that life is stronger in us when we live in this covenant together. So I wanted you to get to hear the thinking of another participant in this covenant, another thinker and writer, about what it means to live into this collective promise. David Weber will share his thinking with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm hoping in these few minutes to connect a few dots related to Fuse's sense of itself as a congregation, as opposed to a gathering only of kindred individual spirits. I'm not dreaming of herding cats, an animal which we UUs do sometimes resemble. But I am thinking that we live in a world where kindred individual spirits may want to consider joint action beyond Fuse, not just episodically or serendipitously, but as part of Fuse's identity. I think this idea that collective action is becoming part of who we are has emerged partly from the seven principles, which commit us not just to a free and responsible search for meaning, but to a democratic process, to compassion, to justice, to equity, to peace, to environmental responsibility. And the idea of collective action has emerged also from our living willy-nilly in a world where our principles often require public defense, and from our actual history, in fact, from our actual recent history. I will cite a few examples, none of them involving a party line or a creed or an expectation of unanimity, but all of them involving public actions embodying concerns that were clarified here, deepened here, shared here. Often these concerns have also been on the minds and hearts of other intentional communities, especially in Exeter, those of the Congregational Church and Christ Church Episcopal, who are also our partners, along with the Academy, in the speaker series, We the People. Not too many years ago, when even civil unions for same-sex couples had only a tenuous foothold in New Hampshire law, churches, including Fuse, collected signatures of our own willing members that spoke to the legislature. "Do not think," we said in effect, "that there is a religious consensus in opposition to legal recognition of committed same-sex relationships. That opposition is fervent and loud, but so is our support fervent, and it will be increasingly public. We speak to you as members of a substantial religious community." Fuse became, by formal democratic vote, a welcoming congregation. The Congregational Church adopted that denomination's terminology and is open and affirming. Christ Church supported emphatically, though not unanimously, the election of Gene Robinson, a gay man in a committed relationship, as bishop of their diocese. I cannot prove, but I do believe, that the stacks of signatures from their constituents' churches changed the legislature's understanding of the issue and helped broaden the law, which thus took on a closer affinity with our principles. More recently, groups of Fuse members have stood together in the public square for action to reduce gun violence. Jane Oldfield Spearman spoke to Rachel Maddow's audience in what I would call a UU idiom. Fuse members, led by Stephanie Marshall, went to New York to stand with hundreds of thousands of other citizens in a dramatic and inspiring call for action to stem the global assault on the natural world. Sylvia Foster and others in the Green Sanctuary Group keep us oriented toward other compelling environmental actions. In the annual Crop Walk, Fuse members have followed Rich and Sally Coleman, and in so doing, we have become a mainstay of another humanitarian action whose formal auspices are outside our own denomination. Most of us, through Give It Away Sundays, and some through volunteer service to Seacoast Family Promise, have tried, as you use, to address needs we could have ignored. Fuse has hosted, thanks to Herb Moyer, a panel on socially conscious investing. Kendra brought Occupy New Hampshire here. We cannot expect always to prevail. What we can expect, what we can ask of ourselves, is an open question for everyone here. No one has to do everything. No one has to do any particular thing. We are, in that way, UU cats. But in this world, there are endless occasions for collective as well as individual conscientious action. Readers of Ta-Nehisi Coates's Between the World and Me may want to test the solidity of non-discrimination policies among local realtors. Fuse members who live in Exeter may want to act on the retirement of Chief Kane to try to ensure comprehensive training and commitment in our police department to the ethos of community policing. New Hampshire residents may want to learn more about the structural unfairness and inadequacy of our state tax policies and act to mitigate their consequences. Climate change will not cease to pressure us anytime soon, to say the least. A full integration of all seven fundamental UU principles, the communal ones as well as the cat ones, might well lead us to some new emphases. I'm hoping, first of all, for conversations in which various Fuse groups I'm hoping, first of all, for conversations in various Fuse groups and contexts in which we can sort all this out together. Thanks for listening, cats or not.